Well, thank you for having me in this panel, and it's a real pleasure to be able to talk about issues of, in this case, we're going to talk about labor specifically. But first, let me start by talking about the background issues. The first one is when we talk about bisexuality and we talk about behaviorally bisexual men, they play key roles in the HIV/AIDS epidemic in this country. They have been disproportionately affected by the AIDS epidemic. The number of interventions that are out there have been effective only at the behavioral level. They have been an overlook, constantly overlooking at issues of culture, social dimensions, and structural aspects of the life of bisexual Latino men. In this case, we're focusing on ideologies of masculinity, migration status, and workforce positioning. Our project began last year, and it's a four-year R1 in which we're trying to, we call it Latino Bicultural Project. And our aims are to document the mechanisms through which gender and power inequalities, and that's like a phrase that catch all. I mean, there's a lot of things embedded there, create HIV risk and vulnerability for bisexual Latino men, examine societal perceptions of Latino masculinity and bisexuality that facilitate or inhibit access to HIV prevention services. So in other words, how different views and prejudices around bisexuality affect the delivery of care for this population, and on the basis of the findings, then create a multi-level intervention. And that's the project in itself. We have four data components. The first one consists of a cross-sectional survey that has kind of a quantitative and a qualitative component with 160 bisexual Latino men, key informant interviews, focus group interviews with providers. We're not at that stage yet. We're in just the first year of the study. And ethnographic fieldwork on the sexual markets and the sexual geography of bisexual Latino men. Our conceptual framework, in many ways, tries to operationalize how macrocultural and social factors influence the risk of bisexual Latino men. So in this case, you might not be able to see it. It's okay, it's a heuristic model. It's not fully specified. But the idea is that you have these macro things that happen at the macro level, and then how are they trickling down into actual practice? So the second level refers more towards networks and relations, so whether it's gender relations, racial relations, class relations. From there, then we think, how does this contribute to the way people construct their sexual lives? In other words, their sexual markets. And this come out of the theory of University of Chicago about sexual and reproductive relations and the way people pair with each other. And if we think about a sexual market, we think about a sex marketplace. So you can think about like a supermarket where you go and meet partners or you don't meet partners. So if you want to find a husband, you might find a husband through church. You might not want to go for a husband in a bar. You might go for a bar for a different kind of partner. So that's the idea of the sex marketplace. And we all, not necessarily bisexuals, pretty much all sexual orientations operate in some form of market. Sexual networks that occur as part of participation in those spaces, and sexual culture of the network within the space. So every space has its particular rules of engagement. So the idea then is that we're trying to understand situational HIV vulnerability, but also protective factors within that. So that's kind of said, maybe not a great graphic representation of what we're trying to do, but you get the idea. And today, we really want to focus on issues of labor and the workforce, and what role does labor play in influencing HIV vulnerability for the men in the study. So in this case, we're trying to answer how does this, let me see if I can point, yes. How do these factors on this side relate to unprotected sexual behavior? So we don't know what are those connections. So that's kind of our research question. And today I'm going to present preliminary data and trying to answer that question to the best of our ability. So this is based on the first 37 in-depth interviews that were quoted by independent coders, and then we're in the process of examining this with quantitative data. And we also quantify some of the qualitative data. So to start, I'm gonna talk about the case of Juan. Juan, it's a Mexican immigrant, 31 years old, migrated to the US 8 years ago. He was a policeman in Mexico, and as many migrants, when they come in, the first entry opportunities in the restaurant industry. The second one is construction, and within construction is demolition, which is kind of the lowest in the construction hierarchy. At his job, so let me just read this quote. We're talking about what is happening at the workplace. At my job, a girl works there, and sometimes she's close with me. On a regular basis, we're there, you know. We close the store early, and we have sex there. She's married, so it is not a relationship, but amantes, lovers. So from the get-go, from the beginning of the interview, you realize that the workplace actually provides an opportunity to meet sexual partners. Again, this is not unique to bisexual groups. It happens in pretty much all different kinds of groups, where most people meet their husbands and wives through work or through college, so college sweethearts or high school sweethearts. Now, this is what is interesting, and you can read the quote, is that sexual partnerships that happen in the workplace are different from the type of partnerships that might happen with a casual partner. The reason being that you know the person for a while, you have trust, you have developed a kind of intimacy that it's not necessarily like a full, girlfriend-boyfriend relationship, but allows you to take some freedoms. One of them is not using condoms. So you see how this then becomes a bit problematic in terms of HIV risk. But also the fact that the way he organized his sexual life, he will do some things with other people that will not do with her. So that already signals that there is some meaning to this relationship. This is not simply about sex, that they actually have some emotional connection to it. So when we think about, this is the part I was just mentioning about having different meanings about using or not using condoms. Since the moment that they had sex for the first time, they did not have condoms because they didn't foresee that they were going to have sex at that particular moment. So that's something, again, it's an interesting aspect when we think about labor and the labor providing opportunities for partners. There are four different groups of occupation, moving away from the case of one for 1 second, that we have in our sample. We have administrators, professionals, technicians, we have sales, retails, other services, part-time, self-employed, mechanic, construction, contractor, labor. So one of the things that we did was to look at this group and see whether there are differences in terms of age, in terms of drug use, in terms of sexual partners and condom use. And again, it's a small sample. And one of the things that you will assume is that if labor doesn't matter, if the type of job that they have doesn't matter, the distribution of, in this case, alcohol and smoking should be similar. So in other words, it would be a flat line, so they all should be pretty similar. However, there seem to be differences between some type of jobs and their alcohol use and other types of jobs, meaning those who work part-time and self-employed, they drink and smoke more on a regular basis than the other groups. Again, there's one interesting finding. When we look at marijuana use, again, we have the same group, other services, part-time, self-employed, using more marijuana in the past 4 months than the other groups. Same with mechanic and construction workers. Now, when we think about painkillers and sedative, you see a very different distribution here. Those administrators and professionals and technicians tend to use more painkillers and sedative. Now, I will tell you why does this matter in 1 second. If we think about partners, the number of partners in the past 6 months, again, not only you should see the numbers shouldn't be that different from one or another, but also you see that in some groups, they have more male partners than female partners. So the men working in sales and retails, they tend to have more male partners than female partners. The ones who are in the mechanic construction labor tend to have more female partners than male partners. Again, so labor definitely either it's playing a role here or whether, and that's a question that I'm gonna get to there in 1 second, I'm sorry. The other thing is condom use. We divide the groups into inconsistent condom use with both male and female partners, inconsistent condom use with males, but 100% condom use with females, inconsistent condom use with males, but 100% with females, and 100% condom use. And then we're trying to see what are the differences within those groups. And what the red dots or the red blocks, what they highlight where the majority is. So the majority of those who do other services and part-time and self-employed, they tend to be inconsistent with both. That's their group. The sales and retails tend to be inconsistent with males. And the mechanic and constructions tend to be inconsistent with males, and the other one inconsistent with females. But okay? So labor provides the conditions and opportunities for configuring sexual interactions. Again, not unique to bisexual men. However, you have to think that perhaps they are having access to more than one sexual market. So how do we operationalize this association is something that we are right now trying to figure out. One hypothesis that we have is that it's through alcohol and drug use. So that certain type of jobs are so stressful that they're forcing them to use more alcohol and drugs, and therefore at the moment of having sex, they're more likely to have unprotected sex when they're intoxicated. Another pathway you can think about is that the occupation types bring a different kind of sexual partner opportunity. So that if certain jobs, you have more partners, if you're in sales and retails, you definitely can have a larger pool of people coming in and out versus if you're just doing the dishes in the back of the restaurant. So this is something that we're working on. We're in the process of testing this hypothesis once we get all the data, so in a year from now. So that's where we are. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And if you have any questions or any feedback, please send it. Thank you.